I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
28.
Sporting KC starts their home schedule tonight, taking on Cruz Azul FC in the CONCACAF. That's not right. It's the Champions League.
Hi, can you please spell panda for me?
You're going to do that to me today? Text panda, P-E-N-D-A. Jerry Krasnick report says he is likely to play in 2017. College hoops tonight, Mizzou plays Illinois, and K-State takes on, I don't know who they play at home, but they play at home. I'm Ben Heiss, so that's what you know. Now, let's start the show.
Benny Heiss.
And gone.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
The Drive, presented by Tecate. Carrington Harrison. Brad Fanning.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Dusty Likens producing this thing. In the meantime, until we find someone else, or maybe that someone else is you. Who knows?
Could be old Dusty.
It certainly could be you. I don't know who the next Benny Heiss is going to be. We're going to call you Dusty Heiss if that's
please don't.
If that's who they end up picking.
Hey,
to
the
be
Chiefs
our...
are starting the Mahomes here. We're starting to post Benny Heiss here.
No, that's
Heiss
real.
Is like Alex Smith does. He's gone.
No, that's absolutely 100% factual. You're listening to The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Dusty Likens producing this thing. Brad Fanning. Right now, I wish you could see Brad. He has like 7 brackets sprawled out across of him. He's like fretting over which sleeper he's going to have in one, and he's got to do the other one on the other one. You got a lot of bracket madness happening.
I got bracket wallpaper over at the house, man. You got to get my wife involved in that too, so that way she can that way she can get involved and watch it some basketball too. So she can, because then I can get it off HDTV and some like Discovery, whatever. You know what I mean?
We are actually going to be live at Winning Streaks if you want to come stop by and watch the NCAA tournament on Thursday and Friday. The day shift's going to be doing their show from there, and we will be doing our show there. So I'm sure a lot of you are taking off work to watch basketball, eat some chicken wings, maybe enjoy some beer. Well, come do that with us inside Winning Streaks inside Harris Casino. We're going to be there. The day shift's going to be there. Fun will be had as we get you ready for Kansas, Kansas State, and also Missouri, as all 3 teams are in the NCAA tournament. I have a feeling we will talk about that in the hits.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits, number 1.
All right, Fanny, so just need you to calm down on your bracket filling out situation.
Don't tell me what to do. You're not my wife.
Okay. All right, day one has been great. So, brackets on the back burner for a second real quick, but the Chiefs, they did some news today. They did some releasing of some players, Ali. They re-signed Anthony Sherman. They also released Ron Parker. I feel that's a good way to start. Hit number one for you, Phil.
I think the Tamba Ali, we obviously knew this was going to happen. I think the bigger message is the releasing of Ron Parker. I think the Chiefs have sent a pretty clear message. Our defense was not good enough last year. And we don't think Bob Sutton is the problem. We think the players and the implementation of those guys running the scheme is the problem. Next year, if the Chiefs have a bad defense, I think that's the year for Bob Sutton. But it's very clear what's happened this year. They have decided that Bob Sutton and his defensive creation is not the problem. It was the parts that was the problem this year for the Chiefs.
I mean, they were paying a lot of guys a lot of money, and they weren't getting a whole lot of production out of it. Let's be honest. They haven't done it the last couple of years. So they needed to make some changes. I don't know if it's Bob Sutton. I don't know if it's the players. Maybe it's a combination of both. But after this year, it's Sutton if it doesn't work. And I think it's pretty clear based on what the Chiefs have done. DJ gone, Tamba gone, Ron Parker gone, Marcus Peters gone. That defense is going to have a really different look when OTAs open up, all right? And I think it's safe to say that with the minimal amount of draft picks that the Chiefs have, it's going to be on defense this year, and that's going to be a focus based on what they've done in the offseason so far.
Number 2.
All right, number 2, we kind of talked about brackets earlier, so feel free to do this. But I also have to ask you, what's the most intriguing matchup? Hopefully no biases here. One on the Jayhawks side, one on the Mizzou side. But what's the most intriguing matchup you have?
Are we talking first round? Or are we talking potential matchup?
I'm talking first round March Madness tournament. What's the most intriguing one? Maybe it's Mizzou because it's the first time they've been in the tournament in 15 years for you, C-Dot, or Fanny.
Wow.
You know, maybe you got your fantasy going on.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you and say Rhode Island against Oklahoma.
You love Rhode Island, don't you?
I think Rhode Island was one of the best mid-major teams in college basketball this year. I understand if everybody's not hip to Rhode Island. I think Rhode Island was one of the best college basketball. Rhode Island was a top 15 team for most of the college basketball season. And we've clearly seen the committee doesn't value mid-major teams and teams that were ranked out. St. Mary's didn't even make the NCAA tournament. I think when you factor that against Oklahoma, I know this sounds very crazy to think, but would anybody be shocked if Trae Young went absolutely crazy?
I think it's a possibility.
And scored 40-something points? Or also Oklahoma, as they've continued to do the second half of the season, have limped to the finish line and they get beat by 20. I think Rhode Island and Oklahoma is the most intriguing first-round matchup.
I'll give you a few games. Creighton K-State, to me, is really interesting because of the Marcus Foster angle. I think that's a fun one. I think Texas and Nevada is a good one. I think Nevada is a sneaky team, and I keep waiting for that aha moment for the Longhorns. Curious to see if Mo Bamba is going to be healthy in that game. Missouri-Florida State is really interesting to me, too. Those are three that I really like. I think Michigan-Montana is going to be fun, too, believe it or not. Heard a lot of really good things about Montana. I haven't seen them, but I've heard that Montana is pretty darn good, and I'm going to take the expert's word at that. But the game that I want to see the most, and I know I'm breaking the law here, and I'm drawing outside the lines a little bit, Dusty. I'm looking for this round two in the South region. We're staring straight at Kentucky-Arizona. Like, that is the game, all right? Round two, Kentucky-Arizona in the South region might be the game of the tournament. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most.
I'll give you a low-key game that not many people are talking about that could be a lot of fun if it happens. St. Bonaventure against Florida.
The Bonnies.
I think St. Bonaventure against Florida, if St. Bonaventure wins the play-in game, I think it's going to be a really, really fun matchup. Another game I'll throw at you. Nevada. I always mispronounce it just because of Nevada,
Texas.
Missouri.
I'm
broken forever on the pronunciation
of Nevada. Las Vegas,
Nevada. Nevada against Texas.
Yeah.
I think has a chance to be a really fun kind of game. I always like major conference team against good mid-major team. Those are the games that are the most interesting to me in the NCAA tournament.
Because angry little mid-major team has nothing to lose, man. They go out there and they play tough. They got nothing to lose.
Number three.
All right, now that Fanning doesn't have his cheat notes in front of him, Fanning, what's Nevada? What's their mascot? Or Nevada?
Nevada? Oh, it's the Wolfpack. Come on, dude. Right. Play this game with me all day, man. I'll kill you on this.
I just want to make sure.
C-Dot knows this. He tried to get me earlier today, back in the office, and I was reeling him off left and right.
I'm just broken because I went to college in Joplin, as many of you know. And Nevada, Missouri is halfway in between Kansas City and Joplin. So I would always stop there to get gas or get something to eat. So I've said Nevada probably thousands of times.
Yeah.
So when I look at the word, I always think of that. So I am broken forever with the pronunciation of Nevada.
What's your favorite state? Is it Nevada or Oregon?
Okay.
Washington.
Ooh. Yeah, Washington. I like that one too.
There is no R. Last one to get you on, North Carolina Central.
See, that's not fair.
That
I don't
is
know
fair. They're
that
the Eagles.
One.
Everybody knew that. Anyways, hit number three.
I thought he wanted our take on North Carolina Central.
I didn't
actually.
I'm like, I'm screwed.
I was like,
no,
oh,
I
was
going
to talk to you about
Central.
The. Yeah,
are they in the tournament?
They about to get smoked is the answer.
Yeah,
to
who
it.
Are they getting smoked
about
by?
To get smoked.
The CH on there.
A smoky.
Yeah, it must be juicy. Anyway, so with the free agent signing of Mike Moustakas, we listened to Boris's audio earlier. Is there an issue with baseball players getting signed in the offseason now? Or is it just this year because of next year's signings potentially could be so much drastic and so much more next year?
I think the best lie that Major League Baseball owners have sold you, the fans, is that it is advantageous for them to lose games, not spend money, and not try to make the playoffs. I'm always told that the goal in professional sports is to try to win a championship. The Royals, a team just local, I just want to make an example, I'm not accusing the Royals of anything, have openly said the goal is to spend less money and not sign players to long-term contracts. They've openly told you in 2018 their goal is to not try to win. They have sold it to you, the fan, as a good thing. That's not what happens in the NFL. You can maybe do that for 1 year of, hey, we're trying to tank because we're trying to get the number one overall pick to take a quarterback. But the way the NFL is based on parity, I think the Jets were trying to do that, and the Jets failed miserably at tanking to try to get a top draft pick. I just think the owners have completely brainwashed the fans into what's beneficial for them. If the Royals are going to spend $50 to $40 million less dollars this year, Who does it benefit the most? You, the fan that pays to go to the game, or the owner of the team that's actually saving the money? It's the owner that's saving the money.
I think there's two things here. Is there an issue? Yeah, I believe so. I mean, I think that on some level there is some collusion. It said, hey, listen, let's not offer these as many big money, long-term deals that we've done because they just simply don't work. Now, you brought up the Moose part of this thing. I think there's something odd with the Moose deal, and I just don't understand it, and I know there's more to it. I don't know what it is, but it's fishy as hell to me. Who was the guy that reported that nobody else offered him a deal? Was it Bob Nightingale?
It was Bob Nightingale
from
USA Today.
Of USA Today, one of the most respected baseball writers out there, said that no other team offered Moose a deal. Why? I don't have the answer to that. 38 bombs last year, two-time All-Star, world champion. And nobody offered Moose a deal? I mean, something's fishy there. I tell people this all the time. The amount of stuff that we don't know would blow your minds. All right? This doesn't make any sense to me. This doesn't make any sense to me. The guy that hit 38 home runs, the best offer and the only offer he got was for 1 year and $6.5 million. So, do I believe there's collusion? Do I believe that the owners have a wink, wink, nod, nod, fist bump of a deal to not pay players as much money as they have in the past? Absolutely. I think this Moose thing is completely different, though, because it doesn't make any sense that no other team in baseball would offer Mike Moustakas a contract. The best he was going to get was 1 year and $6.5 million. He's got to be kicking himself right now. He could have had $17 million with a qualifying offer. So I think there's two separate deals there. Moose's thing, I still don't know the entire story on this. It just smells bad to me.
And that concludes the hits for today. I want to go through and, I guess, address the seeding and ranking of each of the three local schools. Let's start with Kansas as the one seed, and I think the second best team going into the NCAA tournament just based on resume. Not talking about who you have winning. I'm sure some fans have different teams picking it, and I know that fans have been kind of down on KU in this final and this team being a Final Four team. I am curious over the next couple of days of, does that conversation change? Because I remember you and I had a lot of conversations throughout the course of the year, and you were adamant this team has no chance of going to the Final Four. This is not a championship caliber team. Now that we've completed the regular season and the conference tournament, if you don't think KU is a championship-level team, and I know a lot of fans that have told me this entire season that they aren't, tell me who is entering this tournament. Because if we even had to rank, hey, I don't think KU is that kind of team, man, tell me the teams you think are the five most likely to win the NCAA championship, the seven most likely to win, the eight most likely to win. Man, it is hard to not include Kansas in that bunch given what we've seen throughout the course of the season and their resume.
I would put them in the top eight for sure. I mean, going into this thing, Arizona looks scary as hell. I think Virginia's going to be really good. I think Villanova is really good. Duke, Carolina, all those teams. Gonzaga's a trendy pick to get to the Final Four as well. But I think now, based on what we've seen from KU, I think they're in that group of eight that could win the national championship. I'm still on the fence whether or not they can pull it off, but they certainly have earned the right to be in that discussion. You know how, like, you're getting ready to go somewhere, and you get on your iPhone, and you hit the maps thing, and it gives you the most direct route, right? Mm-hmm. And then it gives you a couple other routes. So it's 42 minutes this way, it's 58 minutes this way, it's an hour and 10 minutes that way. KU took the hour and 10-minute route. They didn't take the most direct route to get the one seed in the Midwest. I mean, it was an up-and-down, bumpy road for KU to get to the point where they always wanted to be, which was the one seed in the Midwest. But they got there, and they won the Big 12 tournament without their big man in Udoka Azubuike. All right, so listen, I've been critical of KU all year, and I think rightfully so. And I think Bill Self was critical of his team, and rightfully so. But what this team has done at the end of the year and what they were able to pull off in the Big 12 tournament without Azubuike was flat-out phenomenal. Malik Newman averaged 24 a game in the Big 12 tournament. Malik Newman averaged 13 points a game for the regular season. All right, this guy went bananas. Silvio De Sousa played valuable minutes, got a double-double in the game against West Virginia. Mitch Lightfoot has emerged. I think we may look back, as crazy as this sounds, depending on what happens in the NCAA tournament, and maybe we say this next year too, that the fact that Azubuike went down with a sprained MCL in practice on Tuesday last week as a blessing in disguise for this KU tournament because Silvio De Sousa grew up in the Big 12 tournament.
Let me ask you this, and I'll give you my opinion. Do you still look at this as not being a typical KU team? Because I've heard every single KU fan tell me all this year, this is not a typical KU team. Man, this looks pretty typical to me. You've got a really good point guard that can carry you to the NCAA tournament, and you're going to hear this saying over 100 times over the next 4 days. Guards dominate March. Guards win the tournament. Man, you got pretty good guard play. You
well,
got
Devontae. Great guard play last year too. They had Devontae Graham and Frank Mason.
Agreed. I mean, they also got to the Elite Eight in that game. I mean, certainly had a chance to go to the National Championship, went to the Final Four. So a typical KU team. I look at this KU team. It looks incredibly typical to me as we've now grown. The most remarkable thing to me, what happened this weekend, I don't know why I didn't see this coming, because I've been talking about the Big 12 Twilight Zone. I've seen this happen with KU every single year. I didn't think they could do it in 3 days, but it happens every single year. They lost Udoka Azubuike. I didn't pick them to win the Big 12 tournament. I thought the KU was going to play at like 60, 70%. Didn't really need it. Hey, let's rest up. Let's try to get ready for the NCAA tournament. I just thought they were going to play like how they did against Oklahoma State, where I think it was clear KU took their foot off the gas in the game against Oklahoma State. They just created another great big man. I've seen KU do this my entire life. I've seen them lose a guy to the NBA draft, and the next year that next guy is better than the one that they had before. That's seemingly what they did in 3 days. There was no reason to believe Silvio De Sousa could do what he did this weekend. I'm not saying you didn't believe in him in a long term sense, UKU fans. I'm talking of when you lost Udoka Azubuike, I didn't hear a lot of people saying you could make an argument for Silvio De Sousa winning Big 12 Tournament MVP. Now, I think Newman deserved to win it, and he won it. You could have made a pretty convincing Silvio De Sousa argument. He looked like Al Horford. He like Draymond Green this weekend.
And he got into a Konate, too, before the half, which I love.
He
like
was,
you need some of that.
He was incredible this week. So if you want to talk about a typical KU team, as we head to March, and we got to see what happens with Udoka, but I would say the emergence of Silvio De Sousa lets you be a little bit more cautious with Udoka Azubuike. He doesn't need to play this week, or excuse me, on Thursday's game. If they sat him out for the 16 game against Penn, I actually think that's a smart thing to do. Maybe at the earliest he comes back the Saturday game against Seton Hall, but I don't know if you or NC State, respect to those both of those teams. I don't know if you need him to win this game from what we've seen from KU, and especially going to be a very pro KU crowd. How good Silvio was this weekend, I think allows Udoka Azubuike to take as much time as he needs to get back and as close to 100% as theoretically possible at this point in the season.
But as good as De Sousa was this weekend, and he was phenomenal, they needed a big body in there. Malik Newman's the guy. Like, we haven't seen that from Malik Newman. I mean, what do you have, 24 one game? Maybe 27? I mean, early on in the season, you're like, Malik Newman? Like, this is what we're going to get out of him. It's 1-on-3, and Newman's taking it to the bucket. This team is completely different than they were earlier in the season. I mean, let's not forget, this KU team lost 3 home games this year, and they lost at Sprint Center against Washington, right? And the way they're playing right now, they hit their peak, and they've hit their stride. They are playing their best basketball at the right time. I mean, this is a battle-hardened team right now.
No, it absolutely is. Let's move on to Kansas State, and we'll get back to Kansas coming up in just a bit. I also want to read the quotes from the Chiefs as they release Tom Bahali. We'll get to that in the 525 segment. So in 10 minutes, we'll get back to KU, and we'll also get to that. If you're Kansas State, I think their biggest questions are very simple. It's Dean Wade and Barry Brown. Now, I'm no doctor, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be one, but Barry Brown's injury did not appear to be very game-missing in the NCAA tournament series. What I think happened, my theory would be, is he got poked in the eye. It was a little uncomfortable. They thought, hey, we don't need you in this game, at least from a seed standpoint. Maybe Kansas State could have been a 7 seed, a 6 seed if they end up winning the entire Big 12 tournament. But hey, sit down, put the ice over your eye. Let's try to get the swelling down. Let's try to get you back to 100%. If I had to guess, I think Barry Brown wears goggles in the game. So he goes Horace Grant. He goes Kyrie Irving.
He goes Kurt Rambis?
Something like that. I think he does that. And Dean Wade is the one I'd be worried about. Dean Wade didn't look too mobile, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't look too mobile.
You kind of need your feet.
He didn't look too mobile to me.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at, guy needs to get healthy here.
Yeah.
So that would be my biggest question. With Barry Brown, I don't think it's going to be that. I think Barry Brown's starting. I think he looks the same self. You just got to deal with playing in the goggles. Dean Wade is the one I would be worried about as we head to the NCAA tournament, because it goes without saying, if Dean Wade does not play,
they got no chance.
You are not winning against Creighton. No. Like, you are not beating Creighton, in my opinion.
When it comes to Dean Wade, I mean, that's the big one, right? I mean, you got a first-team All-Big 12 guy that I think will probably be in the NBA. Not next year, probably coming back to Manhattan, but I think he's got a chance to play in the NBA. The only thing I know about stress fractures in the feet is that I've never had one, so I don't know what it's like, right? If they determine that it can't get any worse, he'll probably take the – I don't know if this to be a fact, but I would assume he'll take the needle. And if that's the case, then Dean Wade will be okay, and he can play at least for a little while. But without him, they're done. They're cooked. I mean, listen, I give K-State a hell of a lot of credit for hanging with Kansas without Barry Brown, without Dean Wade, getting it to 2 points in the big against KU in the semifinal game. I mean, they played their tail off, right? But you go into the NCAA tournament, and you got Barry Brown, who's got an eye situation. You got Dean Wade with a stress fracture in his foot. I mean, that they don't have enough. I made this, you know, I talked about this last year. I compared Kansas State to a Mid-American Conference football team going up against somebody in the Big Ten like Ohio State. Listen, when you they don't have depth, right? When you lose guys like Dean Wade and Barry Brown and you go up against really good teams, you might be able to hang with them for three quarters, but after that, you're cooked. K-State cannot absorb losing both of those guys. So I'm with you. I think Barry Brown plays, wears goggles, and Dean Wade, we have to wait and see. Because if that's a stress fracture, that could be a real big issue for him. And if he's not there, they don't win.
We're actually looking to get Konzo Martin on later in the week. We'll keep you posted. If I'd guess, we'll probably catch up with the midweek, maybe play it for you guys on Friday as we look towards Missouri's game. They play the late game on Friday. I think it's twofold for Missouri. I would say one is a Jordan Barnett. Where I think there's multiple ways of looking at the Jordan Barnett. As a Missouri fan, obviously you're upset before the biggest game of your season. And the biggest game of Jordan Barnett's life, if we're being honest. The first round of the NCAA tournament, biggest game of your life. You get a DUI, you cannot play. And the rules state that you have to be suspended from a Missouri competition for at least a week.
So Mizzou rule, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, just the handbook says he can't play in this game. And he shouldn't play in this game. You did something dumb and you jeopardized not only your life, but the life of people around you by choosing to drive drunk. In 2018, if you get a DUI, you were either stupid or careless. There's really no other way to look at it. And maybe people get upset by that, but it's the truth. Technology has created every possible way for you to avoid a DUI. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you get a DUI, but you were just careless. You overestimated your ability to drive. You got pulled over. You had to blow in the breathalyzer, and you failed the test, and you endangered not only your life but the lives of other people. Or careless in the fact that, hey, I'm okay. I can do it. I can drive. I think a lot of people have been in that situation. So, again, I don't want to make it seem like I think getting a DUI makes you a bad person, because obviously there's different degrees, different circumstances, and everything. But I think you also have to look at it from the point of being a college student. Think about if you're Jordan Barnett. You sat on the bench for a season as you transferred from Texas and had to watch a bad basketball team. You didn't get a chance to play last season. You had a decent year, but the team was absolutely awful. They fire the coach that recruited you to come to that school. Konzo Martin pops up. You don't know him. He, you know, you had a little passing with him from being in St. Louis, but that's not the guy that recruited. That's not what you signed up to play for. You stayed at Missouri. I don't know if he could have been a graduate transfer or not, but he stayed at Missouri. They had a great season. Jordan Barnett was one of the 20 best players in the SEC this year. The SEC tournament happens. You go 1-for-9 and 1-for-6 from the field. You lose in the first round of the SEC tournament. You then go get a DUI, and now you are suspended for the first round of the NCAA tournament. And imagine the guilt that Jordan Barnett would live with if Missouri loses a close game in the NCAA tournament and he thinks in his heart, man, if I was playing, I could have done something better. That's something you live with every day for the rest of your life. So as a human, I feel bad for Jordan Barnett. As a Missouri fan, I feel bad for him too. But as a Missouri fan, it's just angry, and this happens to Missouri all the time.
Yeah, I look at it a couple of different ways. First off, from a teammate standpoint, I'd be pissed. I'm like, listen, man, Michael Porter got hurt. Blake Harris transferred. Terrence Phillips got kicked off the team. We still managed to get into the NCAA tournament. Porter's healthy, and then my teammate did this. A senior on this team, a guy that you need on a team with no depth, made this type of decision. From an individual standpoint, listen, I was briefly a college athlete. I played college golf for one semester. I wasn't a disciplined enough student athlete to be able to hang on to that position. Plus, I wasn't a great golfer either, but I was good but not great. The bottom line is this. Here's what I know. You get a lot of second chances in life. Right? College athletics aren't one of them, okay? Jordan Barnett screwed up a terrific opportunity for him to play in the NCAA tournament after he's gone through. I'm sure the kid's hurting big time. I hope Missouri wins this game so we can get out there, right? But if I'm a Missouri fan, if I'm a Missouri teammate of his, I'm pissed right now.
No, and that part makes absolutely a lot of sense. On the other side, I want to read you what the Chiefs had to say about releasing Tom Bahali today, and we'll get back into the NCAA tournament. Plus, in 10 minutes, we give you a final chance today to win $1,000 right here on 610 Sports Radio. Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Dusty here, Fanning here. The gang is all here, at least the new gang. Yep. Dusty is going to be our producer until they decide who our new producer is. Out with the old and in with the new. Dusty like it. So if you like him, tweet at 610 Sports KC, and maybe Dusty will be our permanent new Benny Heist.
You may know him as the Dirty Werewolf. That's the name that he has on the day shift. Is that correct, Dusty?
That's kind of correct, kind of not correct. I got it from producing post-game shows with Vern. And then, of course, Binkley ran with it because Vern said something.
He called you the dirty werewolf?
No, text line did because they took my first name, Dusty, and then Lycans, which is the werewolf from the Underworld movie.
So you're a dirty werewolf.
So it's a dirty werewolf. It makes perfect sense.
You kind of look like a werewolf.
Okay. Not really sure what that means.
You got the beard, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like Teen Wolf?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
This is from CEO and owner of the Chiefs, Clark Hunt. I like how their story calls him Chiefs Chairman and CEO.
He likes to be called that.
Owner. He's the owner of the Chiefs. Yeah. Tamba has been a tremendous ambassador for our organization, both on and off the playing field. His incredible work ethic and passion for the game helped make him one of the most successful pass rushers in franchise history. Tamba will always be a part of the Chiefs family, and we sincerely appreciate his contributions to the Chiefs and the Kansas City community over the last 12 seasons. This next statement is from Brett Veach. I have a great deal of respect for Tamba and the amount of success he's had as a member of this franchise. He's one of the greatest Chiefs pass rushers of all time and has made a lasting impact on Chiefs Kingdom. We wish him the best as he continues his career. This last one is from Andy Reid, and I will stop reading to you on the radio. Quote, I am grateful I have had the privilege of working with Tamba Hali and getting to know him on a personal level.
Stories with CDOT.
Yeah, his love for the game is incredible, and he has passed on that passion and his knowledge to a lot of our younger players. I can see him being a coach one of these days, which they are just basically, if the Chiefs tell you they want you to be a coach, that is code for you can't play anymore, but we're happy to have you around.
Like, why would they just tell the truth?
Yeah,
I mean, hey, Tamba, you're old, you got bad knees, you can't even practice, and we're paying you $9 million. It's time to go, dude.
They love saying that.
Why don't they just tell the truth?
Yeah, that's crazy. I can see him being a coach one of these days. He's built a tremendous legacy here in Kansas City, and we wish him the best as he moves forward. With Tamba Hali, I do think it is very, very fair to keep this in mind with Tamba. We'll get to it coming up in 5 seconds. But first, we got to give you your chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. Dusty, thanks for the reminder. Go ahead, man.
You got it, man. It's thousands on the 30s. Text the word PAGE. That's P-A-G-E, PAGE. I'll do it again. P-A-G-E to 72881. You could be a $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance up to $12,000 each weekday. Just listen in on the 30s from 6 to 6. Your next chance to win is, well, be 6:30 tomorrow morning on Fesco in the Morning. Complete rules apply at 610sports.com. Sorry to think about the rules, but back to you, fellas.
Great job, Dusty. Great job on that. I know you're trying out for the gig. Great job.
Right.
One thing I really appreciate about Tamba Hali is he's a throwback player. The same stance I had with Derek Johnson. Man, 12 years with one organization where you got drafted by that organization. You had a chance to hit free agency. You came back. You played out that whole second contract, and then you came back and signed a third contract for the team. I think Tamba should be applauded the same way that Derek Johnson should be applauded. Derek Johnson, in my opinion, gave back money to play with the Kansas City Chiefs and did everything in his power to come back to the Chiefs. Tamba was the exact same way. If you remember, at the end of Tamba, Tamba very easily could have chased what DeMarcus Ware chased when he got his ring in Denver. Hey, I want to go try to win a championship. Hey, I appreciate with the Cowboys. Hey, I had a great career here, but I'm trying to go win a ring here. Tamba could have went to go play for the Patriots, could have went to go play for the Packers, could have went to a lot of places that would have given him a better chance to win a championship. But he was happy here. He was comfortable here. His family's here. It's the only place that he's known, at least as a professional. He wanted to continue to stay here. Man, 12 seasons with one team in the NFL, and to put together the career that you've put together. Man, Tamba's going to be in the Ring of Honor one day. Derek Johnson's going to be in the Ring of Honor one day. Now, I'm not calling them Neil Smith and Derek Thomas. I don't think they had that kind of impact. But, I mean, for the modern Chiefs fan, or the younger Chiefs fan, maybe is a better way to put it, the younger Chiefs fan, man, every Chiefs team that you really know or that you've been close to have always had Derek Johnson and Tamba Hali on it.
You could actually put him in the Neil Smith conversation. He's got four more sacks than Neil. Tamba Hali is number two all time.
Game just changed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm saying when Tamba played and when Neil played, I mean, teams probably throw the ball, what, 45% more, 50% more. So, I think if we did a Twitter poll in who do you think was the better Chiefs pass rusher, I think Neil wins over Tamba Hali.
Yeah, and I do too. And again, I'm looking at what Neil Smith did with the Chiefs. You know, he was 88 to 96. Tamba was 2006 to 2017. Tamba had 89.5 sacks. Had about 50 fewer tackles, but 110 more assisted tackles. Bottom line is Tamba Hali is number two in the Chiefs in terms of all-time sacks. The only guy that had more sacks than him in Chiefs history is Derek Thomas. So Tamba Hali will go down as one of the great Chiefs. He made $78 million playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, man, the guy could barely practice. I know he wanted to be on the field, but it's just time. I mean, you say it all the time, Carrington. Football's a young man's game. I mean, that just beats the hell out of your body. And he's got other interests, too. He's got his music, and he's got all that stuff. But it is cool, though, when you have players that want to stay with their team, right? And Tomba wanted to do that, and Derek Johnson wanted to do that.
I just look at it now, and I think with what we know about football, I think we'll start to see players like Tomba Hatley. Like, we talk a lot about the younger players that are going to retire due to concussions and all the stuff they talk about football, and those guys certainly exist. But I think the new wave, so to speak, is going to be is guys like Derek Johnson and Tomba Hatley that have made a lot of money in their career that used to stay around for an extra 1, 2, maybe 3 seasons and try to hang on. Now it's, man, I've made $60 million in my NFL career, and I feel relatively healthy. Man, it's time for me to do something else with my life. Man, I got a lot of other interests. I think if Derek Johnson wanted to, I think he could get hired by ESPN tomorrow. ESPN or NFL Network. They've already had him on. He's done some CBS stuff. He's done some ESPN stuff. Yeah. Derek Johnson has options.
Yeah.
Tomba Hatley clearly has options.
I think Derek Johnson wants to coach.
He does a
He's
lot
a
of
football rat, man. He loves it.
He does a lot of other things. So I just think we'll start to see guys like Tomba Hatley that maybe, you know, used to play till they were 35, 36. Like, I don't know if Tomba Hatley is going to be James Harrison. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. I think we see James Harrison loves playing football, is addicted to playing football.
Yeah.
Look at all the stuff he does to his body to try to get ready to play. I think he loves the mental grind of trying to get your body ready to go out there for combat.
And I think DJ's that way, too. I think Derek Johnson's that way more so than maybe Tomba.
But I just think we'll just see that Tomba, his interest is clearly in music, too. And I'm not saying you can't have interest in both of them. I mean, Damian Lillard did a rap CD. Lonzo Ball does music. So a lot of people do music. I think Tomba is clearly starting to shift to the next phase of his life. And you know what? I'm healthy. I've made a lot of money in my career. I just got let go from the only team. I don't think Tomba plays football again. I think Tomba Hatley announces he's retired here in the very near future.
I do, too. And he's not the only guy they let go today. I mean, Ron Parker, too, is gone. So, I mean, the Chiefs have lost 4 defensive starters. I mean, I guess we can still call Tomba a starter, can we? Ron Parker's let go today, too. So Marcus Peters, Ron Parker, Tomba Hatley, Derek Johnson, all gone from this Chiefs defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to play a couple of things of what coaches had to say about the NCAA tournament. We'll get to end the show today, how you are just sacrilegious when it comes to filling out your NCAA tournament bracket.
Try to help some people out with their brackets.
This is what Bill Self had to say about Kansas being selected in the NCAA tournament yesterday on CBS in the Selection Sunday show.
Well, I thought it was if you're an automatic bid winner, obviously it was maybe a little anticlimactic seeing the very first of it, but I thought it was exciting watching how you guys unveiled it. And But for me, I was just, seriously, I was looking at the 116-8-9. That was all I was focused on, is that first two-game tournament that we get a chance to play. And of course, we're happy that we get to stay close to home in Wichita. And if we're successful, you know, we get to stay close to home in Omaha. But that's only if we play great this weekend. But certainly, every game will be competitive. I've known Steve a long time at Penn. And when he was at Cornell, he gave us all we wanted in our building. I think we won on the last possession 1 year. And certainly we got to get ready for that one. And then if we're fortunate enough to move, you know, playing NC State or Seton Hall, you know, those will both be opponents could be coin flip games for us because we just don't have that much margin for error. But we are playing better. We're playing with more confidence, and I like where we're at.
I think what Bill Self said there at the end should make you terrified if you are a team that has to play Kansas. We're playing better, and we're playing with more confidence. That's what I see the biggest difference in everybody is. I don't know what's going to happen with Udoka Azubuike. I don't know what's going to happen with his knee is. But I think the worst thing that can happen to the opposition is Silvio De Sousa has found his swag a little bit and is playing with confidence, where he just wasn't playing with confidence before, and you could tell Bill didn't have confidence in him. Bill didn't have confidence to put him on the floor. Bill didn't have confidence that he could stay out of foul trouble. Now you do, and we all know how confidence works and momentum works. I always think momentum is a lot like an inward kind of thing. It's the belief in knowing that you can do it. And once you can get over that hump, especially when you're like Silvio and you were behind the curve a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you were playing high school basketball, 4, 5 months ago, and now they put you in the middle of a Big 12 tournament race, our conference regular season race. I can see how it took you a little bit if you're not going to be a high-end Marvin Bagley, Michael Porter, Muhammad Bamba, DeAndre Ayton kind of talent.
The other part of that, too, though, is I think sometimes guys respond differently when they know that they don't have a choice, right? There was no safety net in the Big 12 tournament for Silvio De Sousa, right? Azubuike's not coming in to save him, right? He had to go in there and do his gig, all right? They threw him in the deep end and said, swim. And boy, did he. I think we saw that from Malik Newman, too. I think we may look back, depending on what happens in the NCAA tournament, maybe even into next year, and look at Udoka Azubuike going down in practice last week with a sprained MCL as a potential blessing for KU, because it forced Malik Newman to step up. It forced Silvio De Sousa to go in there and play well. No safety net here, kid. Go out there. If you don't play well, we don't win. It's really that simple. And he went out and he played great. Put up a double-double against West Virginia, showed some attitude against Kanata. I thought he was phenomenal.
I mean, it also created, I wouldn't say it 100% eliminated it, but, I mean, one of your big knocks on KU was lack of depth.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
just created depth with guys on your own roster. I mean, Silvio De Sousa, yeah, I think, is now a guy you can trust to play 15, 20 minutes if Udoka comes back.
Isn't it crazy? It's crazy. The Doka goes down, and all of a sudden you create depth all of a sudden when you lose a guy. It makes no sense.
It's not really shocking to me because that's Kansas basketball.
That's good
point. What I mean? It's Kansas basketball.
They're like
basketball.
Gremlins, man, right? They just pour they pour some water on a big guy, and another one pops out.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm sitting here looking at it. I don't know how anyone could have predicted this was going to happen with Silvio De Sousa. This year, he is averaging 3 points and 3 rebounds a game. There's no reason to think that he could come out in the Big 12 tournament and do what he had done. But you saw a little bit of a spark in the Oklahoma game, and that was really the only game I think you can say, man, he played really well this entire season.
Yeah.
He was not good this entire season. And then, boom, something happened, something clicked, and he turned into an absolute beast. Against Oklahoma State, 6 points, 8 rebounds. You obviously take that from a guy on your bench in 15 minutes. Against Kansas State, 8-11 in 19 minutes. And a couple days ago against West Virginia, played 26 minutes, 16 points, 10 rebounds. He has 21 rebounds in his last 45 minutes of basketball.
Who is that guy?
That is playing at an incredible level, yeah, if you're Silvio De Sousa. They have eliminated one of your biggest knocks. They created depth by guys on their own roster.
Yeah.
This weekend was an overall win for Kansas State.
Absolutely.
For KU. We'll see what happens with Udoka Azubuike and what happens. But getting Silvio De Sousa involved, and I think the confidence of knowing I can go out there and play well, is going to pay big dividends for this team as they advance in the tournament.
And I talked about them having a ceiling going into the tournament, I'm like, listen, this team's not getting past the Sweet 16. That's what I said all year. And that's the way it looked. And then all of a sudden you see who's in their part of the bracket? Penn, Seton Hall, NC State, Clemson, New Mexico State, Auburn, and Charleston. And now Silvio De Sousa is playing great, and now Malik Newman's going off for 30 in the Big 12 tournament. The ceiling got raised this weekend down at Sprint Center in downtown Kansas City for KU.
The other two coaches spoke. We'll play what they had to say. Plus, you are violating every single rule when it comes to bracket making.
That's fake news.
And we'll tell you what it is next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. The show coming up after us. I want to play really quickly what Bruce Weber had to say. I think they're in one of the most interesting first-round matchups with Creighton going up against Marcus Foster. And like most 8-9 games, and I would say most games in the NCAA tournament, a true coin flip kind of game. But this one kind of has that extra juice because you're going up against a guy who was in your program recently and was the best player. It was a big deal whenever Marcus Foster transferred. This is what Bruce Weber had to say about going up against his former recruit.
Well, Marcus is a really good player. We felt like we found a hidden player or a hidden talent when we got him. Not many people recruited him. He had an unbelievable freshman year. Was one of the best players in the Big 12. I still remember that Texas Kansas weekend where he had 30 and 20 something when we won on Saturday and on Monday in Big Monday against Kansas. And he's continued to get better as a player. He's a great offensive player, and I'm sure he's got better as a defensive player with his experience. But he's not the only guy. Tyree Thomas is one of the possible draft choice. Really good guard that they have. They got some big guys that can shoot the ball on the perimeter. And Coach McDermott's one of the best, better offensive minds in the game. you know, when he had weapons like his son, it was tough to deal with them.
You know the tournament loves creating great storylines and great matchups. Think about it on both sides. If you're Kansas State, you get a chance to end the college career of Marcus Foster. Or if you're Marcus Foster and you're Creighton, you get a chance to again, or you get a chance to stick it to Bruce Weber and the Kansas State Wildcats.
The team that dismissed you.
I mean, that's not even from a local aspect. And yeah. I think we know a little bit more of the backstory, obviously because we're local and we're closer to K-State than a lot of other people are. This is one of the most intriguing and best first-round matchups if we get a healthy enough Dean Wade, because I expect Barry Brown to play. I'm really looking forward to K-State's game.
Me too. I mean, Creighton, remember, Creighton comes out of the Big East. There were two number one seeds coming out of the Big East in Villanova and Xavier. That's a good league. You know, they only have one common opponent in Baylor. K-State swept them, and Creighton lost to them. But Marcus Foster against K-State in an 8-9 matchup. We're not talking 12-5 here. You know, we're not talking 13-4. I mean, this is a coin flip game. I think you said it best when you called it that, C-Dot. So, yeah, the storylines are really good. If the committee really had a sense of humor, though, I think Missouri would be in that same region with Kansas in an 8-9 game. Then that would be better. That would be the committee having a sense of humor.
No, I'm with you on that. My argument from the beginning with Kansas was I do think it is in the benefit of the NCAA tournament to reward you for having a great season. I think what happened to KU, if we're looking at it, I think from an objective perspective, I think what happened for KU in the 8-9 is the best thing that could happen. Man, don't put Kansas, don't put Missouri in our region. Give us Seton Hall or NC State. Two teams far away. That's going to be a 95% KU crowd in Wichita. I mean, probably 98%. How many Seton Hall fans do you think are making that trip? How many NC State fans do you think are making that trip? Your reward for having the regular season and conference tournament that KU has should be playing a game in the first two rounds that are essentially a home game. It wasn't going to be essentially a home game if it was Missouri.
Yeah.
A lot of Missouri fans were going to make that trip, myself included. And it was going to be, I think it's going to be more KU fans. It was going to be like a 60-40 kind of KU crowd. This way, it's going to be a 90-10, 95-5 kind of KU crowd.
But I think they took care of Kansas, but they screwed Virginia, the overall number one, though. You look in the South, and Virginia's got Kentucky and Arizona. They're half of the bracket, you know, so they're going to have to face the winner of Creighton, Kansas State. If they get by that game, they've got Kentucky or Arizona. I mean, Virginia's the overall number one, got absolutely screwed here, and KU got a sweetheart of a deal in the Midwest.
I like KU's region.
Me too.
If you look at their region, man, I think if you ask Bill Self at the very beginning of the season, I think you tell him, let's avoid Missouri if they're that 8-9 team because of Porter and the uncertainty. At the very beginning, it's like, let's avoid Michael Porter. I don't know if anybody knows what Michael Porter is going to do. Michael Porter, I wouldn't be surprised if he scored 12 points in the first game. I wouldn't be surprised if after that first game, he's got his legs back under him. With now Jordan Barnett, they put him in that wing. They open it up a little bit where he's posting up a little bit less. He's slashing to the basket. He gets a little bit of that explosiveness back. And Porter drops 27 this weekend. Like, both are very possible with Michael Porter this year. So if you're a one seed like KU, you certainly want to avoid playing that game. The 2 and the 3 seed in your region, tough matchups, but you only got to play one of them. It'd be worse. Like, I'd much rather be KU than Virginia. Virginia's the number one overall. Virginia had a better regular season.
Absolutely.
Virginia's going to play either Kentucky or Arizona, I think. Now, obviously, things can happen. The tournament's unpredictable. One of those teams in the Sweet 16, if you're a KU fan, who would you rather play out of the possible matchups? West Virginia, Wichita, Clemson or Auburn are your 4 or 5 seeds, or Arizona, Kentucky are your 4 or 5.
Not even close.
It's not even close.
Virginia got screwed for having a terrific seed.
It's not even close which one you'd rather have. And coaches being happy about where they are. I mean, look at where Missouri got. And someone on the text line says, C-Dot, did you watch Michael Porter's last game? Because I did, so I know what to expect. Okay. All right. You know what to expect with Michael Porter's injury. I bet you were one of the people that didn't think he was coming back this year either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Porter's going to come out and be Marvin Bagley. I obviously do not know.
Nobody knows.
I don't know how anyone can say, I know what Michael Porter's going to do. I've only seen the kid play 2 college basketball games, and one of them didn't count.
Yeah.
He's been injured. I mean, maybe he's more efficient. Maybe he says, hey, you know what? I got to get my shots down. So, hey, let me go 6 for 9. Let me focus more on defending and rebound. I just don't know how anyone can know how this Missouri team is going to respond and how he's going to respond, especially
doesn't know.
Especially just the sheer basketball talent.
Yeah.
I think if you ask Konzo Martin as the coach of an 8-9 team, Which one seed would you like to go up against? I think he picks Xavier. I don't think he picks Kansas because I think they're one of the teams that kind of exploits a Missouri's size. Not lack of size in size, but Missouri is a team that can very easily get into foul trouble down low. And I think KU, we saw that in the scrimmage, really can take advantage of that. Villanova, I think the second, third best team in the country. Virginia, a team that just poses matchup problems for everybody with how they can defend. And if you don't have a point guard, it's going to be very difficult for you to beat Virginia. I think you pick Xavier. I think if you ask them realistically, give me the three areas for the first round of the NCAA tournament that you'd like to end up. I think he picks Nashville as one of those. I think he picks going to Nashville. That's what you got if you're Missouri. Obviously, the Jordan Barnett thing is a big loss for the Missouri Tigers. I just don't know if you can pick a better destination than the one they have.
No, I think Missouri's set up pretty well, and I think Kansas is set up the best, too. Again, I still think Virginia got the raw deal out of this thing.
Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. Your bracket strategy. I'll give it to the people one more time.
I'll give it to them real quick. Go ahead. Do four brackets. Have your wife or somebody that knows nothing about college basketball fill one out. Do top seeds all the way through. Pick an emotional bracket if you've got some ties to certain universities. And then put a little research in. Your thought-out bracket. You got four brackets. You got your butt covered on everything else. I'm trying to help the people win some money, C-Dot. It's a tried-and-true process.
How about just be better at selecting the games? I mean, that's a tried-and-true. Be better.
How can you, like, nobody knows what's going to happen. We don't know what Missouri's going to do.
No, you're right. I don't
know.
That's
why you hand one off to your wife or somebody that knows nothing about college basketball.
That's the beauty of the NCAA.
She's
going to
be like, oh, I like Tigers. I like Tigers. We have two cats. I like Tigers. I'm going to take Mizzou. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. Oh, Greensboro. I went there. Yeah, I'll take Greensboro. And sure enough, Greensboro wins. I mean, it's the craziest thing in the NCAA tournament. That's why you hand it off to somebody that has no knowledge of college basketball.
Check out the podcast page, 610sports.com, also available on iTunes. Back again tomorrow, looking to have Ken Pomeroy help you filling out your brackets tomorrow on The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.